Good morning. Good to be with you. Been encouraged as we were together and talked about Gideon. And I love that story, always did. And I think it's a story that is a challenge to us thousands of years after it happened. I'm almost not sure if I want to share this after what Greg said. I chose to take a little bit of a different look at Gideon and how what God did with that army. Do you suppose out of those 32,000, it says that 22,000 of them were afraid. Do you think all 10,000 of the others were being honest? I'm not sure. I tend to think maybe not. At least they weren't being realistic. And I also thought it was interesting, and it came out in our discussion about the 300. And you know, we spend all kinds of time thinking about the 300 and why what they did was God could use that. They got water up and they lapped it, and they were more vigilant, more watchful. I'm not sure if that's a lesson God wants us to take from this, but you know, really, we need to get back to this that none of this stuff mattered to God as far as what He could do with the Midianites. He, from a human perspective, I don't care how vigilant they were, they were outnumbered. I forget the numbers, 450-1 maybe. They were done. And I was challenged that, you know, when we face obstacles, we face battles. I'll be honest, I don't go into every one of those battles fearless. There's a certain amount of trepidation or you know, holding back and really is this what I want to get myself into? And I'm glad that God can use us, and I think as God leads us through situations, maybe we come out the other side and when we face another similar situation, the fear that was once a part of us isn't there anymore. But I believe that we want to be where God wants us to be. And God, I really think God used those other 10,000. I even think maybe some of the 22,000. When that initial surprise attack was over and they pursued him, and I think maybe there were some of those involved in that. And I think the challenge that we want to get out of this is that the battle is the Lord's. We're here. We want to be where God wants us to be, whether it's the 300, whether it's the 10,000, wherever. We want to be where God wants us to be. And when we're willing to fall into place in God's plan, why, there will be victory. And I'm glad for that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. I'd like to read one little story here, one little account from Luke chapter 10, and get some lessons from it. It's a story of Mary and Martha. Luke 10 and verse 38. I'd like to read verse 38 to 42. And it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. A short little account, 4 or 5 verses here, but it teaches us some very vital lessons about our relationship with God. What does it take to have a relationship with God? What is it? What is that? That one, Jesus said, one thing is needful, and Mary got it. She's following that. You know, it was Martha that I believe, from what I read here, says the end of verse 38. It says Martha received him into her house. I really get the impression that it was Martha that invited Jesus over. It was Martha that went out of her way to invite Jesus to their house, and it was Martha that was really concerned about serving Jesus and making sure that she had a pleasant place for him to stay and a meal prepared, and she was the one that was concerned and careful about all the details about with Jesus' stay at their house. But it was Mary that sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't condemn Martha's service. I believe Jesus accepted that and appreciated the service that Martha gave to him. But he didn't condemn Martha, but he did commend Mary for choosing to be putting a priority on sitting at Jesus' feet. He went out of his way to commend Mary for that. Jesus told Martha, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And by the way, that is the title for the message this morning. One thing is needful. In other words, Martha, with all that you got to do, all the things that you're concerned about, and they're not bad things, just make sure that you take the time to sit at my feet and hear my word. That was Jesus' words to Martha, and he used Mary as an example. And Jesus was saying to Martha, you don't need to neglect all these other things, but make sure that you put a priority. One thing is needful. Sit at my feet. Probably all of us would agree that consistently spending time at Jesus' feet needs to be a priority in our lives. I believe it does, and I don't think anybody here would argue that fact. But I would guess, if you're like me, why, when life gets busy and hectic and things, you know, they don't always go as planned, and there's so many things, so many pressing things to do, why, this thing of sitting at Jesus' feet gets neglected. And that's the challenge that I'd like to leave with you all this morning, that we remember what the one needful thing is, what that needful thing is that Mary chose. And Jesus' challenge to Martha was, you choose it too. And I believe his challenge is that all of us choose that. Now, we know that we can't sit at Jesus' feet this morning. He's not here. He's not here in person. We can't go to a person and sit at their feet. It's Jesus is not. He's with us in spirit, but he's as a person, he's not here. And there are so many ways that we can do this. What kind of priority do you put on a relationship with God and communication with God and having that one-on-one and a relationship with God? What kind of priority do you put on that? And what are you willing to do to focus on that? And probably one of the first things we often think about is, you know, spend time, our devotional life, and the time we spend reading God's word and in prayer. And I'd like to, yeah, I'd like to focus on that and think about that. And what kind of priority do you put on discussing God's word with your brothers and sisters? Or is there more important things to do? Is there what kind of priority do you put on Bible study with believers and prayer and Bible study? You know, what kind of priority do you put on a prayer service and a Bible study service? Or is it just sort of a take it or leave it? Or what kind of priority do you put on listening to preaching? Young people, what kind of priority do you put on Bible school or Bible study? Or is there too many other things that take our attention and we're busy, or there's other things that are more interesting or more fun or seem like they make more of a difference? First of all, this morning, I'd like to look at why sitting at the feet of Jesus is one thing that is needful. And then maybe for a little bit, I'd also like to look at and maybe make us aware of some common hindrances that we have to overcome in this thing of sitting at Jesus' feet. So, first of all, why is sitting at Jesus' feet the one needful thing? And by sitting at Jesus' feet, I think we all understand that Jesus isn't here in the body, but we're talking about spending time focusing on God and listening what he has to say, whether it's through Bible study or prayer or whatever. Sitting at Jesus' feet doesn't mean that we let everything else undone and that we just ignore our responsibilities in life but it does mean that those other things take second place. It means that we have some priorities. There's some things that are more important in life, and if there's some things that get skipped and some things that get missed, this sitting at Jesus' feet and our communication with our Heavenly Father is not one of them. And I'd like to leave with you about four reasons why we should follow Mary's example in this sitting at Jesus' feet. First of all, why is it so important? Number one, God's word provides us with all the wisdom we need for all of life's decisions. You know, there's a lot of places we can go for advice and I think they're right. I think there's a lot of, we look to each other for advice. But the first place we need to go when we have decisions to make, or when especially important decisions, I think we need to go to God's word to find principles and values that come straight from God. Does it apply to my life and to this particular decision that I'm about to make? God's word does provide us with the wisdom we need for life's decisions. Let's go there. Find the principles that are applicable to our lives today. Just a couple passages that I'd like to turn to. First of all, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. Familiar verses. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Grace and peace. God wants to multiply them in our lives, and they come to us, and we experience grace and peace in our lives as we have a greater knowledge of God. How do we get it? How do we get a greater knowledge of God? I know of no other way than to spend more time in His Word. That is where God reveals Himself to us, and where God tells us more about Himself. It's in His Word. And you want to learn to know God better, learn more about God, spend more time in His Word. Verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that's God's power. He supplies us with everything we need in relation to our lives today. There's nothing that God can't fix. There's no problem that we face that God can't work through it with us and help us through it. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's a promise. Claim it. And learn to know God better. It's important. And we get it. We make that power becomes available to us as we spend time at the feet of Jesus. Back a page or two in your Bibles to 1 Peter 2. And verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow by it, that ye may grow thereby. It's by feeding on God's word that we get to grow spiritually. You can't mature in your Christian life. You can't grow in your Christian life if you aren't reading God's word. If you're not feeding yourself with God's word, it's what helps us to grow spiritually. What helps us to grow in our relationship with God. It helps us to grow in our knowledge of Him, and we mature. I believe that as we mature, we can God can use us in ways that He cannot if we are satisfied with hanging back and staying like these newborn babes. 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. Or sorry, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, if it wasn't for the Word of God, if it wasn't for the Word of God being preached and taught and expounded to us, you know, I don't know that God's Spirit can work. I believe He can, but it's through the preaching of the Word that God reveals to us what our needs are, and. It's through God's word that we understand that when we, you know, before you were a Christian, it's through that you understood that I'm a sinner and I'm not prepared to meet God, and there's a certain fear in our hearts of what the future holds. And it says here that it's the scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's through God's word that we understand our need and what God's answer is to that need. And I'm thankful that God's word is very clear in what our need is, and then it doesn't let us hang with a need, but there's an answer, and it's Jesus Christ. We go to God's word to find the answer to all those needs. Matthew chapter 4. Another reason that it's really needful for us to sit at Jesus' feet. And especially, I would say, when we call sitting at Jesus' feet, familiarizing ourselves with God's word. Matthew chapter 4, I'm not going to read verses 1 to 11, is the story of Jesus and his temptation in the wilderness immediately after his baptism He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil. And there's three different temptations that Satan presented Jesus himself with. And every one of them, Jesus' answer was, "It is written." Here's what the Bible says. In our words, it's the Bible says. Three times Jesus overcame Satan's temptations by quoting scripture. It is written. He knew the scriptures. And he was familiar with the Bible that they had, the scriptures that they had in his day. He was familiar with those scriptures. They helped him to be victorious, and they'll help you to live in victory too. And that's a challenge that I'd like to leave with every one of you, that you are familiar with God's word, and when temptations come your way, use the Bible, use the scriptures that you have and memorized or have knowledge of, and if in doubt, find the scriptures that apply and speak to it. They'll help you to live in victory, and it's so important that we know what the Bible says, and to know what the Bible says, we have to spend time reading it and studying it. God's word reveals his will to us and tells us how to please God. God's word is where we find hope, and it puts life in a different perspective as we spend time with the Bible, claim the promises that God has for us, and it can change our perspective completely. God's word helps us to understand that this life is short. It's fleeting, and death isn't the end. And there's hope. There's hope beyond this life. And we find all those things in God's word. Number two, God's word and prayer put us in communication with God himself. And I thought about the two men that were on the road to Emmaus, and we have that story in Luke 24. But in verse 32, after Jesus blessed the meal, the bread, and then vanished. Verse 32, verse 31, their eyes were open, and verse 32, they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Did not our heart burn within us? God desires communication with us, with you and me. And that happens as we spend time in God's word, yes, but also spend time in prayer. And that communication with God in that way. And I think that it's important that as we take the Bible and we sit down and read it, I believe that it's important that we ask God to show us what this means and how this is. He wants me to apply this to my life and to the experiences that I face. God's word isn't just something to take up space, but there's principles there that we can apply in very practical ways in our lives today. And as we read the Bible and as God speaks to us, my prayer is that your heart burns within you, and there's a burning desire in your heart to please God and to apply what you read to your life today. Number three, God's word puts all the pressures we face into perspective. You know, the reason that, I mean, it says in Luke chapter 10, verses that we read, it says in verse 40, that Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to Jesus. She was exasperated. Get my sister to help me. I'm maxed out. Can't you see that I'm busy? And don't you care that she sits there and I do the work? And the reason Mary was so stressed, or Martha was so stressed out about all that she had to do, was because she was trying to face these responsibilities that she had. She was trying to face them in her own strength and handle it because I'm Martha. I can do this. I can put a good meal together for Jesus, and I can be hospitable. And Mary just sat there drinking in the truth and the teaching that Jesus had. I believe that had Martha taken a few minutes to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary did, I actually believe probably the same amount of work would have gotten done and a whole lot less stress. And she would have, because she would have seen those responsibilities, faced those responsibilities, those pressures that she faced from a different perspective. Because she's serving Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has answers to life's problems. And you know, the same goes for us today. It's tempting sometimes to think that we're too busy and that I don't really feel like I have the time to spend in God's word that I should and to meditate the way I should. And so there's other things that look more important or more pressing than sitting at Jesus' feet. And so that takes the back seat. And we try to do life on our own strength and face the pressures in our own strength. The fact is that what we really need, and we don't, I think it's important to read God's word, maybe just two verses, but it gets our mind, it kind of changes the perspective for the day. If we simply start our day with a prayer and maybe read a couple verses, if you don't have 20 minutes, spend just 2 minutes, read a couple verses, and let that change your perspective. Apply it to your life and let it change your perspective. The fact is that when we face pressure and difficulties and burdens, sitting at Jesus' feet is exactly where we need to start from. Our circumstances may not change. They may not have changed. The pressures may still be there, but our perspective changes. And the outcome, we're more submitted to the outcome and what God's plan is for our life. And number four, Jesus said to Martha, he said, "One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that." And then in the very last part of the very last phrase of verse 42, it says, "which shall not be taken away from her." God's word is the good part, and our relationship with God, the time we spend in communion with God, cannot be taken from us. You know, there's a lot of things in life that can be taken from us. There's a lot of things. You know, our job, our money, our health, we may even lose friends sometimes. And there's a lot of things that we can lose, a lot of things that can be taken away from us. But Jesus' promise to Mary and Martha here was that the time we spend at his feet doing the one needful thing, that can't be taken from us. And that's a challenge to me that a promise to me that I can claim. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verses 38 and verse 39 read like this: "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I don't care what happens. I don't care what pressures, what disappointments, what challenges, what tragedies I may face in my life. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, except the choice in my own part to spend time at someone else's feet or somewhere else other than the feet of Jesus. One thing is needful. You need time at the feet of Jesus to grow spiritually, to understand who you are, to face life's difficulties. You need time at Jesus' feet. Now, what are some of the hindrances? Probably they're different for all of us, and I don't have a lot here, but what are some of the hindrances of sitting at Jesus' feet? Well, the busyness of life. Luke 10 and verse 40 says that Martha was cumbered about much serving. And that word cumbered, and it's a word that I don't use very often in English, but in the Greek word that it's translated from has the idea to be preoccupied or distracted. And I believe that made the hindrance real. A preoccupation or a distraction. And there's so many things that are out there that have the ability to distract us or preoccupy us and keep us from a closer relationship with God and learning to know God better. Jesus said in verse 41 that Martha, you're too careful, or you're too, and that word careful there means anxious, and you're worried and troubled about many things. Not bad things. She was only making a meal for Jesus. She was being hospitable. But these things that she was concerned with seemed to be more important to her, and they held a higher place in her life than spending him at Jesus' feet. Let's remember that there are some things in life that are important. In fact, very important. And we can't let them undone. We've got to attend to those things and be responsible, take responsibility. But the challenge that I'd like to leave with you this morning is that not to leave those things undone, but to put a priority on what needs prioritized, and that's sitting at Jesus' feet. Start there, and then work away from that. And I believe we'll be more successful at fulfilling our responsibilities when our starting point is at Jesus' feet. I read an account of a it was a time management coach that he was trying to make a point to his class. And he went up front and he took one of these big, you know what you buy, pickles or olives in these big gallon, glass gallon jars with a wide mouth on it. And he went up there and he took 8 or 10 or 12 fist-sized rocks and he put them into the jar until he had it full. He had the jar full of these rocks. And he asked his class, then he turned to his class and said, "Is the jar full?" And his class thought it was full. He said, "Yep, the jar's full." And he reached under his desk and he pulled out a little bag of gravel. And he proceeded to pour the gravel into the jar. And they were amazed at how much more went into that jar. A lot more went into the jar. And when he had dumped his gravel in and it was full, and he said to the class, is it full now? And of course, by this time the class was on to him, and probably not. And sure enough, he pulled out his little bucket of sand and he proceeded to pour some sand in, and he got more in, and then when it was full of sand, he got water out and he poured water in, and more yet went in. When it was full of water, why, he said, I believe it's full now. He then asked this question: what do you think we can learn from this illustration? And I thought it was interesting. One student that he had raised his hand eagerly and said, it doesn't matter how full our schedules are, if we try really hard, we can always fit more into it. And I thought that was an interesting observation. The professor's, the coach's response was, nope, that's not the lesson that I'm trying to teach. There are limits. We have limits. And sometimes our schedules are full, and we cannot take any more. The point that the professor was trying to make was this. He said, if you need to put the big rocks in first. You've got to put the big rocks in first. If you don't put the big rocks in first, you're never going to get them in. And I believe from our story from Luke chapter 10, Jesus was trying to help Martha to understand that sitting at his feet was one of the big rocks. It was one of the really important things, and we've got to get them in the jar first, or we'll never get them in. We can fill it with gravel and sand and water and all this other stuff. And if we fail to get those big rocks in first, there's not going to be room for them. And we've got to start with the big rocks and listening to Jesus, sitting at his feet is one of the big rocks in our lives today. Let's make sure that we get them into our life first, and we take care of that first, and then fill in the cracks with all the gravel and sand and all the unimportant, less important things. They'll find their place. But the big rocks, let's make sure that they're placed first. Another hindrance that that comes up, and maybe we talked about it some, but we get distracted by worries and difficulties in life. You know, we face things, we face problems, health issues, financial worries, relationship issues, whatever. We face these things and we want answers, and we try to find answers, and I believe it's right that we do. I don't think that it's right for us to just ignore problems and act like they don't exist. I think it's important that we understand that we have problems, we have things that we face, but let's not let those worries and problems distract us from the real answers and from going to the source for answers and going to Jesus for answers. We tend to try to answer these problems and these questions ourselves. And a lot of times, God wants his say in it. And if we just open up and accept what God has for us, sit at his feet, sit at Jesus' feet, and are open to his input, the problems aren't necessarily going to always just disappear, but I believe the answers will become obvious. And as we open ourselves up to him. And then there are all these other distractions, the things, the stuff, the toys and the hobbies and the things that look like fun. And we chase those things down, and the devil has a unique way of putting all the sand and gravel in, and at the end of the day, we want to put some big rocks in. We want to put some really important, and the day's over. There's the devil knows how to distract us with all these little unimportant things. And some of these actually are unimportant things. And we'd best, some of these things we'd best cut out. And not saying that they're all wrong, but if they take priority time from your relationship with God, they are wrong. And we need to cut them out and we need to get rid of them. There's a lot of things that aren't necessarily wrong, but let's make sure we see to it that the big rocks get placed first. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. She chose that. That was a choice. She could have chosen to help Mary or be all concerned and cumbered about with all those things. And it was a choice on her part. If it's going to happen for us, if we're going to sit at Jesus' feet, we're going to need to make it happen. It's going to be a choice on our part. And that's the challenge that I'd like to let with all of you today, is that you choose to sit at Jesus' feet and then allow him to figure all the other stuff out in your life. As he will know, he will put that in proper perspective. Let's pray.